Okay, good morning everybody. It's not such a large room today, but it's filled up nicely. So my name is Rob van der Leek. I'm a consultant at a company called Software Improvement Group. Who of you is already familiar with Software Improvement Group? Okay, nice. I see a couple of people. I'll explain the company briefly. And then I will, the main topic for today is a tool we're developing, a developer tool. It's a hosted tool. It's called BetterCodeHub.com. I'm also developing on that tool. So besides being a consultant, I'm also a developer. First, brief introduction of the company where I work. It's called the Software Improvement Group, SIG, and we're based in Amsterdam. We have an office in the Rembrandt Tower, you see to the right. It's located near the Amstel River. It's a 10-minute walk from where we currently are. And it's the highest building in Amsterdam. And we have a really nice view of the city. And we are a consultancy firm. And we're a specialized consultancy firm. And we help our clients with IT-related questions. We do a lot of stuff. We look at software systems that are in operation and where clients ask us questions about the future. And we also look at systems that are being currently developed. We also coach development teams and vendors to build high-quality software. We were founded in 2000, and we're originally a spin-off of the University of Amsterdam, the CWI Research Institute. So this is the company where I work, and I'm a consultant and a developer at SIG. And what we sometimes see, and unfortunately more often than not, is that we look at software, industry software, large code bases, systems that are often critical to the operation of a company. And then we see pictures like this. And please don't try to read what's on the screen because the resolution is very low and the picture is obfuscated. But this is a dependency graph of a industry system. And you see the blue boxes. Those are the main components of the code base. And all the edges between the boxes are dependencies. And then the blue ones are your typical call dependencies. The red ones also, but the red ones indicate circular dependencies. So, well, as you can see, this is a tightly coupled, hard to maintain code base. If you wonder if you would make a change in one of those boxes, you influence a lot of the other boxes. And in practice, that makes the system very difficult to maintain. And at SIG, we often wonder, and we try to try to understand how this happened. Because if you look at this picture, it looks like maybe there were a lot of inexperienced developers, lazy developers, or monkeys typing. We don't know, but from this picture, we not always understand how it become like this. And what we do then is we do a historical analysis, and we go back in time and we look at the system. And we talk also to the developers, and typically the developers of these systems, they're very smart, capable people. Most often, they're also not the people who originally built the system, but the ones that are currently maintaining it. So how can this happen in software? And most of the time, we come to the conclusion this happened over the lifetime of the software system, and it happened also one line of code at a time. This is what happens when software is being maintained. Another example is this is a picture of our office, and it's me with my colleague Jelko, and we're holding a taped together sheets with code on it. And this is the code of a single method. And the method is 3,000 lines. Now, normally we don't print code because we do automated analysis, but sometimes just also to make it visible to our clients and developers how hard it is to maintain code, we print it out, and then this is a single method. It's 3,000 lines. It does an it has an insane amount of functionality, and of course it's also very hard to maintain. And again, we try to answer the question, how did this happen? Was this maybe the worst developer in the world? Was this a maniac typing code? And yeah, again, it's pretty boring, but how this happened is that it was one line of code at a time. During maintenance of a software system, if you're not carefully looking at the maintainability of your code, this and the previous slide is what happens. Why is maintainability so important? Well, first of all, it's important to not get into the situation that you saw in the previous slides. Also, when we look at the life cycle of a software system, and this is a well-known fact in software engineering, that 80% or more of the effort on a code base, on a software system, is spent in the maintenance phase. So that maybe you have an initial investment or an initial effort of building the system. Maybe it takes you a year or 2 years. But then the system goes live and it goes into the maintenance phase. It becomes very important to the system owner and it needs to be maintained and updated. The systems we see at SIG, they are in operation for decades. I've seen code that is older than myself. And we've never seen systems that are being replaced within 7 years. Most of the systems have a lifespan of 7 years or longer. So this is why it's very important to keep your maintainability of your code high. And actually, what you see on the screen here, it's not the complete truth, because maintenance does not happen when the system is done building. Maintenance actually starts, and we like to say sometimes as a joke, but maintenance starts after lunch on the first day of development. It's when you start modifying your code, renaming methods, renaming variables, moving code, restructuring, refactorings. That's when maintenance of your code starts. However, what we sometimes see in practice is what we call the cycle of unsustainable software development. And that's it all starts often with the fear of developers to touch or modify existing code. Of course, you can understand if code is hard to maintain already and you're a developer on the code base and you need to make a change, you are a bit hesitant to change the code. And what the result is that developers use workarounds or hacks or start copy-pasting code to not touch the existing code, to avoid touching it. The result of that is that the system grows. There's more code. For example, the methods become longer, the code base becomes bigger, it becomes more complex, more duplication, which, in the end, the team has not enough resources to maintain the complete code base. More people are being added to the team. Yeah, and that kind of completes the circle, because typically new developers unfamiliar with the complete code base are again hesitant to make structural changes, to do proper refactorings, and then you are in this cycle of unsustainable software development. So back a bit to our to the company where I work, we look at software systems, and we also look at the implementation of the systems. We analyze the code, and for that we have our own analysis tooling, which the company exists since the year 2000. So already for 16 years, we are analyzing industry code bases. Our tooling supports a lot of different technologies, basically from mainframe to mobile. Think about technologies like COBOL, RPG, PL1, but also the old 4GLs, Progress, PLSQL, to C, C++, Pascal, Delphi, JavaScript, to the more modern technologies, Ruby, Python. We see all those systems and we analyze them with our tooling. And our main focus on that analysis is typically maintainability. We ISO, the ISO standard for software quality, talks about a couple of different aspects of software quality. And maintainability is only one. I've listed some other examples of ISO aspects of software quality, the performance, the security, the usability, the reliability. Maintainability is only one. But often we see that maintainability is one of the most important aspects of your code. If your maintainability is okay, you can start getting all the other characteristics okay. If your maintainability is low, it's typically very hard to improve the performance or the security of your system. When we do an analysis, we get a lot of metrics, we get a lot of facts from the code, and we store those metrics and facts in our big database of findings called our analysis warehouse. And these are quite recent numbers. Up until now, we have 8.5 billion lines of code in there, consisting of at least 150 technologies, I think slightly more. We have the code bases of over 2,000 industry systems. We also have analyzed a large set of open source systems. And as we're doing our consultancy services each week, more or less, we get in 15 million new lines of code. So we see a lot of code, and we store a lot of code. And then we also, of course, look at the trends. What can we observe from all this code? Of course, we see all the bad examples, but we also try to look for ways how to prevent getting into that situation. And I want to share with you three main things that we've learned from looking at a lot of industry code. First main finding is that we've seen that no code base is perfect. In 16 years of looking at industry code, we haven't seen the perfect code base. Sometimes when you look, for example, in a classroom setting or a university setting, you see small, perfect code bases. But in the industry, they don't exist. However, some code bases are slightly more perfect than others. And that is what we find as the most important difference to how maintainable a system is. For example, on the bottom of the slide, you see two visualizations of the same metric in a code base. It's not important which metric it is. In this case, I think it's the complexity of the methods. And this is basically a landscape, and it's built out of little squares, and all the squares are methods. And the color and the height of the square indicates the metric value. So the higher the metric, the more red it becomes. And also the higher the metric, the higher the square is, the higher the bar is. So what we see in practice is that most software metrics, they follow a power distribution, meaning that a large part of the observations are close together in the distribution. And then there's a long tail of outliers. In this case, you see that both code bases follow this distribution. There is a large part in the green, and there are some outliers at the back. But as you see, the right picture contains a lot more of the problematic, complex methods. And it is this distinction between maintainable and unmaintainable. This code base is not perfect. It still contains some very complex methods. And if you need to maintain it, you will spend a lot of time looking at the code, trying to refactor, trying to add new functionality, trying to test them. But here, yeah, most of the code is easy to maintain. At the right-hand picture, There are a lot of impressive complex functions, and as you can see, a lot of the code is in the red. This is the first thing we observed in practice. The second main findings that we have is that to make a system maintainable, you have to look at different levels of your code base. In the picture, the recursive pyramid, you see that on different levels, the way you structure your system is important, from the smallest single pyramid to the larger building blocks to the complete structure. And this is also what we observe in code bases. So not only on the code level should your system be maintainable, but also on the higher levels. For example, if you start with a method, we always advise our clients to write small, simple methods. But then you're going to compose your system, and typically you organize your methods into classes, and you organize your classes into packages or namespaces, and you organize your namespaces into modules or components, and then you have a complete code base. And to keep your system maintainable, you need to address all these levels. It's not sufficient to only focus on the high-level architecture, and it's also not sufficient to only focus on the low-level code quality. And finally, the third thing, main finding that we've learned, is that when you look at software metrics, typically there are tipping points. There's an analogy here. And what we want to express with this picture is that once you passed a tipping point, and you're not the violation isn't too big, then it's still possible to return to a normal situation. It's still fixable. But if you pass certain tipping points, for example the 30%, then your code only becomes worse over time. It's past a point where it's where the code can be refactored back into a normal, healthy situation. Okay, so this is what we observed in practice, and what we see, what can help developers keeping their code base maintainable and their code healthy, is static code analysis. It is pretty basic. If you want to control certain maintainability aspects, certain metrics of your code, you need to measure them. Thankfully, currently there are a lot of tools available to developers, and I've listed here. These are the GitHub integrations, all the integrations that relate to static code analysis. For example, we have the Code Climate and the Codacy, who can measure a lot of stuff on source code. There's the CodeCoff and the Coveralls to measure the test coverage of your code. So there are a lot of tools, and we always advise our clients to use this. Use this in your development process. But, and some of you may have this experience, to properly use these tools and metrics, it can be quite a challenge. The tools, the integrations you've seen on the previous slide, they contain a lot of options, a lot of violations, a lot of stuff you can measure, a lot of tuning you can do. And this is this is the result of research done by Microsoft in the paper mentioned on the screen. And about 200 developers at Microsoft were interviewed about their major pain points with static code analysis. And then, as you can see, the main pain point is that it's very difficult to find the right things to check. It can take a long time to tune and adjust the static code analysis tools. Another main pain point is that there are too many false positives. Typically, when you start measuring, you get a lot of data. Developers are sometimes flooded by all the results of the static analysis. So this is what prevents developers from applying static analysis in practice. Well, at SIG, with all our experience and insight into the to the industry, we try to help a bit in this area. And for that, we have developed a concise set of 10 guidelines. 10 guidelines for maintainability. And according to us, these are the most important 10 guidelines. The guidelines cover, we hope, all the levels of your code base. There are some guidelines that deal with the code level of your code base, some deal with the architecture, some deal with the complete code base. They're pretty basic guidelines. They're what we consider pretty general and engineering best practices. And mainly, the guidelines are about keeping the stuff that you built, keeping it small, keeping it simple, and keeping it loosely coupled. And if you try to address these issues in your static analysis and in your way of working, then you address the main things related to maintainability. Those are not all the things. There's a lot more that you can measure, and there are a lot more tools that you can use. But according to us, these are the main rules. So we hope to help a bit in developers in selecting what rules are important. The second thing that we hope to improve with our 10 guidelines is that we can supply developers threshold values for all of the rules. And these threshold values, they are based on the findings we have in our benchmark. So there's an example on the screen, and it's about the first guideline. It says write small units of code. And a unit, it's a generic term, but think of it as a function or a method. It's the smallest piece of executable code in your technology. And then with our quality profiles, we can do two things. First, we can give thresholds for the size of a unit. And these are the colors of the donut chart. And second, we can give the distribution that, according to our benchmark, means what is maintainable and what is unmaintainable. I will explain this in the demo. I think it becomes more clear than on the screen. And the final slide about our 10 guidelines is that we've also written these 10 guidelines, so we've implemented them in the tool that you will see in the demo. We've also written them down in a book published by O'Reilly, the Building Maintainable Software book. We have copies to hand out after this session. This is a book that describes concisely. It's about 150 pages, and it, for each of the 10 guidelines, it gives practical examples of how to apply them. So now I would like to show you what we're currently developing. It's a self-service environment for developers. It's called bettercodehub.com. I think I can better. This is the landing page, bettercode.com, and it's a self-service environment to do static analysis, and it connects seamlessly to GitHub. With this environment, you can check the 10 guidelines that I've just shown on the slides. And it also provides some aid in starting to improve your code. I will show you the demo, and I will also explain a bit how this environment links to GitHub. And for that, I will use a... a demo account. So I guess most of the people are familiar with GitHub. It's a large collaborative code repository, and this is our demo account. And to show you how Bettercode works, I'll analyze a repository on GitHub, and it's called ReSharper Clippy. ReSharper is a quite popular tool to analyze and refactor C# code. This is a bit of a gimmick. It's the Clippy plugin for ReSharper. Not sure how valuable it is, but it's, I think, a nice demo for our environment. So Bettercode integrates seamlessly with GitHub. So what I'll do is I'll fork this repo to my own account. So it's currently, I have a fork here. Then this is the main screen of Bettercode. It shows you, this is basically a mirror of all the repos that you have on GitHub. I've already analyzed some of the code bases, but I will discuss them later. But for now, we see here the Clippy code base. We've tried to make the analysis process also as easy as possible. So there is some auto-detect of the technologies in the repository. And for most of the code bases, it's just a very straightforward process. What we do is we make a clone of the repo of GitHub, and then we run our analysis tooling on that clone. And we extract all the metrics needed for the 10 guidelines. Afterwards, we remove the clone. When we need to show snippets, we link back to GitHub. So this is how the tool works. It's pretty simple. It analyzes the 10 guidelines for maintainable code, and it shows you the compliancy of your code. For example, the first guideline, it's about writing short units. So we see that this code base, the code base of Clippy, is not compliant to the guideline. It has a cross over here. And in a list, we give some points for improvement. We call it the refactoring candidate list. And it shows you the methods that violate this guideline. And it shows you also at the bottom, you see the quality profile. For this guideline, we categorize measurements into different categories. So and this is related to the size of a method. So everything in the green are methods that are 15 lines of code or less. Everything in the yellow are methods that are at max 30 lines of code. Everything in the orange are methods that are up to 60 lines of code, and everything in the red are methods that are that are larger than 60 lines of code. The tool provides, you can look at the code and you can see the metric. For example, this method is too long. It's 57 lines of code. And these are basically your starting points if you want to do refactorings, improvements. There's a question, sir.
I can write 15 lines of amazing one-liners. How would that evaluate?
That would evaluate pretty good on this on this metric. And if your whole code base is like that, then yeah, probably it's maintainable. In practice, we see that in maintenance, things start to grow. Things don't stay those one-liners. But what happens in practice is that a developer needs to make this case, there is an exception. The code was already written. There was a case here for one for something. And then the developer needs to add an if, because there is an exceptional case. And this is how, in practice, methods grow. What we hope to achieve with Better Code Hub is that it becomes clear to teams that they need to be aware of these issues, and they need to take action to prevent the code becoming unmaintainable. Another function in Better Code Hub is that we have an impact analysis, meaning that, you see a couple of interesting parts of your code base to refactor, then you can actually select those methods, and you can see that this bar at the bottom, it changes based on the selection. And what this means is that when you select a method to refactor, we assume that you will refactor it into a smaller method, into a simpler method, and then your overall distribution of the methods in your code base, it changes, it becomes more green. More stuff is becoming maintainable. So for Clippy, the overall code base is not compliant to the short unit guideline, but with a couple of refactorings, you can actually get this code base compliant. And what we see in practice is that, it's if you keep an eye on these basic metrics, and you incorporate it into your way of working, that you can keep your code clean and healthy. Code duplication, it's another guideline. We see that duplicated code, it leads to a lot of maintenance problems. It will take you longer to maintain. Your code base becomes bigger. You get regression, bugs occur at multiple places. So it's one of the things we also measure in Better Code Hub. And again, like with the unit size metrics, you can see the examples, see the piece of code. And this is a piece of code that overlaps because Clippy is a fairly small code base, and this is a clone that overlaps multiple methods. So it's probably not a big issue and probably not something you would want to fix. And that's also why for this metric or for this guideline, Better Code Hub says, okay, this is fine, right? It doesn't, the code doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be maintainable. The same holds for the guideline about unit complexity. I'll show an example. So the size of a method, so the number of lines of code, it's important. The longer a method becomes, the less maintainable it becomes. But also the complexity of a method is important. And this is, we measure complexity with the McCabe metric. It's a very basic metric. It just counts the number of branch points in your code. So for example, your if statements or your loop statements. It also balances a bit, because that's what we also hope to achieve with the 10 guidelines. We hope to achieve to have a balanced mix of guidelines. For example, the one-liners, you can write really smart, cryptic one-liners of methods. But if you put too much complexity in there, Boolean operators or lambda expressions that are one line but fairly complex, then this metric will kind of warn you about this complexity. For example, this method has a complexity of 7. It's not wildly complex, but still, if you need to unit test this method, yeah, it will take you some time. You need to find test cases for all of the execution paths. Again, better code up is built in such a way that it takes into account that no code base is perfect. And that's the main difference between this tool and most of the static code analyzers that are currently available. Most of the code analyzers, they work violation-based. So you will get a warning if something is too complex, or if there is duplication in your code base, or if the number of parameters are too long of your methods. But you will get a long list of violations, and it becomes hard to find out where to start to improve your code. And with Better Code Hub, because we have this benchmark-based quality profiles in there, we can show developers where to start. So for Clippy, we'd say, well, start with the short units. Also start with this one, long number of parameters. For example, this method, this is it's not a long method, not a complex method, but it contains 10 parameters, and it's probably with a simple refactoring something you can easily make more elegant, refactor it into a more maintainable solution. I have also a slightly larger code base to demonstrate. It's the OpenRA, the Red Alert game engine. It's also on GitHub. It's quite popular. It's an open source project to implement the Red Alert game engine. It's fun to work on. It's fun to play with. This is a somewhat bigger code base, and maintainability has been a bit unaddressed during development. So again, Better Code Hub gives you the prioritized list of refactorings, you can select stuff to refactor. You can see the impact. And for this code base, it's actually a lot of work sometimes. Because in Clippy, we had methods of 50 lines of code. In OpenRA, there are methods of 371 lines of code. And this is why... this is about the tipping points. In Clippy, you see some methods that are refactoring candidates and that you can easily refactor back to a healthy situation. But if code is past a certain tipping point, and there's a lot of raw data also in there, if code is beyond a certain tipping point, it becomes really difficult to refactor it back into a maintainable situation. I've shown you the code level metrics. Those are the first four of our Better Code guidelines. There are also more architecture-related metrics. As I explained, it's important to address maintainability on different levels of your code base. These metrics are a bit take a bit more time to explain in detail, but this is, for example, a metric that shows the coupling between the classes in your code base. And again, as with the unit metrics, we base our analysis on the quality profiles. So you see that there in the Red Alert repository, there are some tightly coupled entities, for example, aircraft or animation or mobile. These are classes that are used by a lot of other classes, and they are a point of attention, but overall the code base is still from this perspective maintainable. So better code up just gives a check mark, and the developers don't need to work on it, but they need to be they need to keep an eye on it. And when they are past a certain threshold, better code up will start to warn the developers, and they can fix the issue. Yeah, that kind of was the brief demo. I have time for some questions. Yes.
Is only GitHub supported?
Currently, we seamlessly integrate with GitHub. We also so you use your GitHub account to log into Better Code Hub. The plan is to make an integration of Better Code Hub. It's not. I mean, we are there's nothing Git specific with our analysis works on a lot of technologies, but currently we work together with GitHub because it also offers developers a kind of seamless, easy integration to do the analysis.
Will there be support for other platforms like GitLab?
Yeah, like GitLab or Bitbucket. We are beta. Developed this tool since the beginning of this year. Currently, we're testing out. We also did code clinics. Those are sessions we do with students from University of Delft, University of Groningen, where they can practice in refactoring code, looking at quality of open source projects. They worked with GitHub. It's easy for them to use, easy to use in the academic setting. Currently, we're talking to companies that develop on GitHub.com or GitHub Enterprise. And yeah, over time, we might also connect with other version control systems. Yes, sir. Yes, we try to eat our own dog food, and we try to also see if the, say, the metrics that we choose and the thresholds that we set, if they are realistic, if they can be, in practice, if you can get everything green. And I can confirm that for Better Code Hub, for the code itself, we are 10 out of 10. So. It is possible to write code that's 10 out of 10.
You were talking about the clipping point, the point where you probably will need to start up again, so the application where you start a new one. Can you also measure that? Can you also figure out and say, well, this has, this is past it?
Yes.
I see the team guidelines, but do you also have like outline telling you you should continue with this one?
Yeah. We are a company that for 16 years look at the industry code, and in a lot of cases we have to tell clients that a whole system is beyond the tipping point. It's no longer an option to refactor it back into a healthy, maintainable system. With Better Code Hub, we try to make developers and assist them in their way of working to keep your code maintainable and healthy. If your code is beyond the tipping point, what you will see in Better Code Hub, for example, with the Red Alert code base, there's a large part of the bar here that's red. And if you would select all the refactoring candidates, and we only give a list of 30 in this guideline, if you would refactor all of them, it still would not be compliant to our guideline. So there are cases when your code base is it takes too much effort to bring it back into a maintainable state.
But you don't have an automated symbol saying it's time to talk to your manager.
That would be a nice feature, because we can help clients and developers also thinking about rebuilding their code base, or maybe do a migration, or abandoning a large part and building it again. So, but it's not in better coded. No. In the back? SQL? So currently Better Kotub supports 15 technologies, mostly the programming languages, so JavaScript, Ruby, but also CSS, HTML. SQL is something we support in our analysis toolkit. Underneath Better Kotub, there is the analysis toolkit and the benchmark. So we measured it. It's easy for us to add. Currently, it's not in Better Kotub. We first try to offer developers something for their main programming languages. But the same rules that Better Kotub currently checks, basically, they are kind of generic coding rules. They also apply to SQL, although in practice, we see it's difficult to write maintainable SQL code. Because, for example, we have the short units guideline. And if you've seen some of the queries or some of the stored procedures that occur in SQL, in relational databases, typically they're long, they're complex, and it's not easy to refactor them into a maintainable situation. But then, we also would like to challenge developers thinking about using different frameworks, maybe different database technology. Currently, it's not in there, but the same rules apply. Yes?
Can you make it part of your build process?
Yeah. The question is if Better Kotub can be integrated into the build process. And actually, that's currently one feature that we're developing, is the integration with the pull request. So I've analyzed Clippy by, we have the play button here that starts the analysis and gets you to the report page, but that's kind of a manual effort and you need to do that periodically, maybe if you're having a review of your code, but actually we want to, we're currently building pull request support, so if we have that, the idea is to integrate Better Kotub into the, the GitHub flow of working. Developers can check the impact on the quality on the 10 guidelines if they made a branch and review it in the pull request. So yes, we plan to make it part of the development process.
Last five projects I worked on addressed these 10 points. Did code get better over time? Is old code worse than new code?
Actually we calibrate our benchmark yearly. Because new frameworks, new programming languages, and what we observe is that our guidelines become stricter over time. So the distribution becomes stricter, you need more code in the green, also the thresholds, the cutoff points become a bit stricter. So yeah, there is hope. The quality improves over time, slightly. And unfortunately, we still see a lot of code bases built in modern technologies with really smart developers, really great teams. But if they don't address these issues, and if they keep on hacking, and there's a lot of time pressure, and no time to refactor, no time to unit test, even with modern technologies, you can create new legacy. But it does improve a bit. Yes, sir.
Do you have a plan to support code outside GitHub?
The question was also asked for different version control systems. Currently, we integrate with GitHub, and we're also building the pull request integration for GitHub. So it kind of Better Kotub fits pretty close on GitHub and the way of working. It's not tied to GitHub. The analysis that we do, they basically need a version, a snapshot of your system. So over time, we might develop a connection to other platforms. Currently, it's a hosted solution, and it's integrated with GitHub. Okay.
Can
Yeah, that's that's a good question. And yes, you can. So to answer your question, there are two workshops today, starting 10:15 and 1 o'clock. There you can experiment with Better CodeHub. Currently, the environment is live, but it's an invite only. But we can whitelist you. If you go to this website, on the landing page, there's a link. You can request to be whitelisted. You can also, after this session, come to us, and we can whitelist you. And yeah, there will be books available after the session also. Yes, that was it. Thank you for your attention.